As we make our way back to the great chairs, we are going to be in a few week series here on resurrection culture, journeying together, asking the big questions of what it means to serve a resurrected Christ and let that the power of that resurrection and of that life give life to our body here. Individually and corporately and for the life of the world. So we asked that question. Today we have a special guest and dear friend of mine to bring our teaching. Before that, though, I want to dig into our text. Normally, we would have folks stand, if able, for the text, but today we're gonna settle in. We've got a long chunk here to marinate in. So I'd invite you, if you want to turn with us, we'll be in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. So as you're turning, we've got shed Bibles coming around or on your device, Luke 24, 13 to 35. So at this point, I'll take a minute, though, to introduce my good friend, the Reverend Dr. Denise Kingdom Greer is joining us from Maple Avenue Ministries in Holland, where she pastors. Just been a dear friend for a long time. It's really fun to do something with you and to be able to lead worship with you. So I just invite you, for maybe the first time of maybe two, to give a nice Mars Hill warm welcome to Reverend Dr. Denise. All right, friends, let's turn our hearts to the text. Picked up in verse 13, on the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and they talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth." They replied, "He was a prophet, a powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told of what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them and when he took the bread." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Oh, what a pleasure it is to be here at Mars Hill. I've heard of you, but it is a pleasure to receive your gracious invitation and your warm reception. And so we just thank and praise God for the capacity and the ability to come together, to join our hearts, and to open up the word of life together. Can we pray? Great word of life, great light of the world, speak to us. Shine upon us, we pray. So when we look we will see. And when we listen, we will hear. But we don't want to be those who simply see and hear. So allow our hearts, our lives, our community, your church to be transformed by the power of your truth. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So I don't know what kind of week you all have had, but this has been a long week for me. Now, somebody went on spring break and sat by the pool and took in the sun, and I don't really want to know about it. I woke up one day and there was snow on my car. I'm saying it was a rough week. Long week, long. So Monday, I received a text early Monday morning saying that Winnie Mandela had passed. And see, that didn't mean anything to a whole lot of other people, but for me, whose heart lives and breathes for South Africa, that was sort of a devastating blow for me early in the week. And then Wednesday, we gathered together as a community to commemorate the 50th anniversary since the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That was a big deal. It was a big thing. It's a lot to do, a lot to think about. And then I went to a conference for about 3 days where we were working on issues of justice and trying to dismantle injustice and trying to build bridges between places and people where things are broken. I'm telling you, it has been a long week for me. And I have to almost force myself to remember that last Sunday was Easter. Right? It's easy for me to forget with all of the things that happened. Now look, we took a long time getting there. We took this long journey from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Some of us made sacrifices and gave up things. Some of us leaned into certain disciplines together as a congregation. We read a book together, daily devotional. And so we were very serious and intentional about preparing to go to the cross and ultimately the empty tomb. But then it seems that at that very moment, the page turns and we get back into life and it gets crazy. And it's easy to forget to remember the resurrection. But I want to confess something to you because I think that we're going to be friends. We'll see afterwards. But it might just be me because my memory is not good anyway. I remember the day I lost my memory. Like, isn't that crazy? Like, I can't remember a lot, but I remember the day I lost my memory. I was expecting my second child. Somebody said, yeah, I know that happens. Right? I knew somebody would resonate. And I was driving through the streets of Minneapolis. I was in seminary at the time, and I was on a summer internship. And I was driving through the streets of Minneapolis, taking this path that I had taken every single day. And then all of a sudden, this day, I realized I was about 4 blocks in the wrong direction. I didn't remember turning. I didn't remember signaling. I didn't remember going in that direction. I just kind of landed in that direction. And I said, uh-oh, my memory's gone. So maybe that's why Easter seemed so far away. And I tend to think that I might forget to remember that we just proclaimed that Christ is risen indeed. That's my excuse. But I don't know what was the excuse of these two brothers walking along this road to Emmaus, this Emmaus road toward Jerusalem. What was their excuse? I mean, really, it had only been 3 days since this dreadful event had taken place. It had only been a few days since they had sat at the table and partaken of the cup and of the bread. It had only been a few days since this barbaric, brutal incident in the public square had occurred and claimed the life of their beloved. It had only been a couple of days, but it seems to me that as they're walking along the road this particular day, they had forgotten to remember. To remember what God had done, what Jesus had said, and who indeed Jesus was, is, and will forever be. They forgot to remember. You know, in the Hebrew, the word for remembering is zachar. And it's different from what we talk about when we think about remembering. We think of remembering as a cerebral activity. It's something that happens in our head. We're like, oh, I remembered it was your birthday. I ain't send you a card or a Facebook post or a tweet. I didn't give you a phone call. I ain't say a prayer for you or anything like that. But I remembered that it was your birthday. But in Hebrew, zachar, this word for remembering, it means to engage your hands, your feet, your words, your everything in your remembering. Rabbis would say that if you don't act, you don't remember. It would be like if Jesus said to the thief on the cross, he said, you know what, when you enter into your kingdom, will you remember me? Yeah, I'm going to remember you. I'll never forget you. Peace now. No. But today, I'm going to do something. Despite your condition, despite your histories, despite your past, your transgression, today I'm going to make room for you in paradise with me. Remembering requires a doing, an acting, a something that says that I am participating in the remembering. So they walked on the road that day. And as they walked on the road, it seemed they had all forgotten. It seemed like Mary and the other ladies, when they went to the tomb that morning with their oils and with their spices, they came to the tomb not expecting what they had heard, not expecting what they had seen, but expecting to find Jesus still laying in the tomb. They had forgotten to remember. And then the other disciples, when the ladies came to them and said, listen, oh my goodness, we went to the tomb and we saw an angel, and the angel told us he's not here, he's risen. And the Bible says they did not believe. They had forgotten to remember. And now these two brothers walking on the road, perplexed and confused and full of anxiety, had forgotten to remember what God had done. How easy it is when we're anxious and when we're frustrated and when we're afraid for us to forget what God has already done. When we become fragile in our relationships and our marriages, we forget that we're not the first to become fragile and fragmented in our marriages, and that God has come in and interceded again and again and again and restored that which was broken. We forget to remember what God had already done. Isn't it something that God doesn't ask us for anything until after God had already poured out the abundance of God's self, God's love, God's self-giving love unto us? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and gave us trees with fruit, with seed in it, so we wouldn't have to continue to come back to God and say, can you give me another tree? Can you give me another tomato? But God provided everything that was needed and then said to Adam and Eve, you be caretakers of it. I have already poured out the abundance of myself. Don't forget what I've done before I ask you to do what you need to do to demonstrate that you remember. The children of Israel going through the Red Sea, and God tells Moses to tell them, remember, 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 remember today. Remember who your God is. Remember when you enter into the land that I am giving you, to not oppress the stranger, because you too were once strangers in the land. Remember. Remember not to forget what God has done. But these two disciples chose instead to do what I often do, and that was to think about what had been done to me. Well, we had thought that maybe, we had hoped, but then they killed him, and what about what God has done? What about that God displayed his great love for us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us? What about remembering what God has done? They had seemingly forgotten to remember that God's faithfulness is so married to God's word that if God says it, God means it, and that settles it. They had forgotten to remember what God did, and then they forgot to remember what Jesus had said. We must be students of the word, friends. If we are not students of the word, then we do not know what the will of God is concerning us, and we begin to make it up. When the pressures of life begin to push in on us, when the challenges of our culture try to overtake us, when sickness and infirmity comes from the inside out, we begin to lean on our own understanding. But we must be students of the word, so that then when we pray to God, we can pray according to the will of God concerning us. But they had forgotten. They had forgotten to remember what Jesus had said. The Son of Man will be flogged and will be beaten and will be crucified. But on the third day, he will raise up from the grave. They had forgotten to remember what he said. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will build it up again. They forgot what he said. If I be lifted up, I will draw all. I will draw the Samaritan. I will draw the tax collector. I will draw the centurion. I will draw the woman caught in adultery. I will draw all human beings. I will draw the Ethiopian eunuch, and I will draw all unto me. And the only way to be drawn is that I be lifted up from the earth. They forgot to remember what he said when he said, no one takes my life from me. Don't get it twisted. No one say, I lay down my life, and if I lay it down, then surely I will take it up again. They forgot to remember what he said. Do we remember what the word of God declares when our lives begin to unravel and not make sense? Do we remember that Jesus says, lo, I am with you always? Do we remember in the midst of our conflict and our confrontation, our responsibility to love one another, to even love our very enemies? Do we forget to remember what Jesus said? What God did, and who Jesus really is. Who is this man on this road with us who seems to not know what happened? Who seems to be confused or out of the loop? They, the two of them, Cleopas and his friend, wants to know, who is this man who acts like he hadn't heard, he hadn't seen, he doesn't know? And so they start to tell him the version of the story that goes like, woe is me and woe unto us. Downcast in the eyes, the scripture says they were. We had hoped that he would be the prophet. We had hoped that he would be the one who would deliver us. He had these words, these powerful words, and we had hoped that the outcome would be different. We heard from one person that they went to the tomb and it's empty, and we heard from another that they went to the tomb and it was empty, but we still are having a difficult time remembering who he is. "You foolish ones, don't you know this is what has been spoken by the prophets? Don't you know the word of God? Don't you know the teachings of the prophets? Don't you know the proclamation of the saints? Don't you know the words of Jesus?" They had forgotten who he. They forgot who he is. He is not the prophet. One time somebody said, Jesus said, "Who do they say I am?" Or some say you're the prophet. Some say, but who do you say I am? Oh, you are the Christ. You are Son of the living God. They forgot who he was. We had hoped he was the prophet. He told you who he was. Is Christ, Christos, Son of the living God, living in full obedience and accordance to the will of the Father. They had forgotten to remember who indeed he was. He wasn't just someone who had good and wonderful and distinct and powerful words. He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, full of grace and truth. He is the Word. Became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. They forgot who he was until they came to the table. They began to eat. And then he did the most remarkable thing. He broke the bread. Somebody's gonna have to clean that up. And the Bible says that when he broke the bread, their eyes were open and they could see him. There's something about the breaking of the bread. When two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. When two people break bread, when Abram and Melchizedek, when they come together and they break bread, God is in the midst of them. When David goes down into Lodabar and pulls Mephibosheth up from the low place where he is, he brings him and he says, "From now on, you shall eat at the king's table." God is present. When the breaking of the bread, and Jesus, on that dreadful day, said to his disciples, "As often as you do this, remember me." Don't remember me in your head. Remember me in your actions. Remember me in your walk. Remember me in your talk. Remember me actively. So what if every time we broke bread at Panera, or Paredes, that's a Holland thing. What if every time we broke bread at McDonald's or at the lunchroom table at work, at the beach, or on the picnic table, what if every time we broke bread, we remember that Christ is revealed here with us? What if that person that we have the greatest amount of contention and conflict with, what if we were to invite them to the table and break the bread? Maybe Christ would be revealed. Maybe we would be able to see an image bearer of God besides a person who has a difference of opinion. Maybe we would be able to see Christ in our midst, repairing the breach, restoring the brokenness between us. What if we would dare to break bread with people we've never broken bread before? Beloved, Christ is risen indeed. Is risen in our hearts, is risen in our lives, and is risen for real. And because Christ lives, we live. We live in the abundance of all God has for us in Christ when we remember not to forget what God did, what Jesus said, and who Jesus is. To the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you and praise you for the gift of your word, for the visitation of your spirit. Break the bricks off of our hearts, oh God, and find beneath there a heart of flesh, that the seeds of your word take good root in the soil of our souls, and it might grow up to bear fruit that will last. We ask this in the name of the one who was and is to come, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.